If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22, but actually we're going to be in several places. So have your Bibles open and ready. The words to the verses we'll be reading will be up on the screen. But I would encourage you to take notes, jot down some of these Bible passages, read them at home later when you're through this morning, and come back to them. It'll be a wonderful study as we look at the importance of church membership. Now, we are beginning this afternoon at 4 o'clock our members class. Really, as in answering questions about this class, it's poorly named. We're looking at a different way to name it. It's not a class in the sense of you have to take this course in order to know things about the church. It's not graded. There's no test. Someone said, are you going to give me a test? And no, there are no tests, no quizzes, no papers to write. And really, even the word members, I'm beginning to think if that's the best way to describe it. Because certainly it's describing what the members of our church do and what our church functions as and how our members are supposed to act. But really, it's open to anyone who is interested in our church in any capacity. So if you've been here a member for years and years and years, I would encourage you to come and take part in our members class this afternoon. If you're new to our church and are just curious about some things that are going on, I would encourage you to come to our members class this afternoon. If you're thinking about joining or if you're not ready to join, if you're just wanting to know how our church functions, how we serve God and how God is using us and what we as a church do, I would encourage you to come to our members class. It begins this afternoon at 4 o'clock and it will be the next 4 Sundays through the month of April. Now, I would encourage you to come and just find what we are doing here. If you miss a session or if you're not able to come to all of them, we are recording them and they will be online. They will even be in DVD format when it's completely done. You can catch up on the weeks that you've missed. If you do them out of order, it's not the end of the world, okay? But you will learn so much about what God is calling First Baptist to do through this course beginning this afternoon. And with that in mind, I want to examine what the scriptures say about church membership. Is it important to be a member of a church? To join a church? This question was asked to me by a man at my first pastorate. They were very faithful attenders, great Christian family. Their kids were actively involved in our church, as active as you could be in a small church where we were at. The husband was a great man of God, talked to him about ministry in the town and how he wanted to get involved. And it wasn't until we were there for a few months I came to an understanding that he had, and his family had never officially joined the church. So I went and had lunch with him because that's what pastors do. We go out and we eat. And I went and had lunch with him and sat down and said, just tell me a little bit about your background and about your salvation and about your faith. And then I said, and tell me about your affiliation with a church. Are you a member anywhere? And he explained to me that he was a member of a church for a while and they had kind of a rough patch and it kind of split and really had got a bad taste in his mouth. And so he said, you know, I really don't feel that I'm ready to join a church at this time. And perfectly understandable, even in my church in Steelville, I wasn't pushy about it. But I said, would you mind talking to me a little bit about when you think you might be ready? He said, well, let me ask you this. What's the advantages if I join your church? What changes? I really sat and thought about it for a minute. And this was a man who was actively involved in our church. He was a man who was doing ministry in the community. He was certainly a family that if they were ill or sick in the hospital, I would have gone and visited. I would have been there for them. They were a part of our church like anyone else. And so I gave the whole, well, there's accountability thing. He said, but I get that already. I already have that. I don't have to join your church to get that. And it started me on a question of what is the point of church membership? Is it important at all? And is there any evidence in the Bible that people are joining churches? I mean, putting their names on a roll. Maybe some of you have similar questions. Why should I join First Baptist? Well, why can't I just come and be a part of your church family? And the answer is, you can. Everyone is welcome to come and attend and be a part of our church. As a matter of fact, I'm so thankful for the many people we have that come worship with us on a week-in, week-out basis. I just want to take a moment and examine whether church membership is something biblical, whether it's something we find in Scripture that says this is what we should do. And we're not going to find a verse that says, thou shalt put your name on a church roll. But I wonder if we can find from Scripture what it teaches about the members of the church in the New Testament. I want to begin by reading Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, just kind of as an example of what church membership should look like, what it looks like to be a member of a church. In Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19, says, So then you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens and saints and members of God's household. This is a reminder that there was a time when we were separated from God and, according to this verse, separated from His household, His people. But it is no longer the case. If you are in Christ, you are now members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. In Him, that is, in Christ, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, think about this imagery. In Christ, everything is built with what? It is built and growing together with those who are no longer aliens and no longer foreigners, those who are now citizens and part of the house of God. We are building and becoming a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, in Christ, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. But what a beautiful passage on how the church functions. That we are literally the temple of God. Where does God live? Where is He at right now? Where is His home? In Ephesians, as well as several other places, remind us that He lives, He dwells, He is in the hearts of believers, in His church. The church is literally the house of God. Not the building, but the people of the church are literally the house of God. You, as a Christian, are a church. You are a temple. You are His home. So just with that as our background, let's ask the question, how important is it to be a part of a church? If you are God's house and His dwelling place, if we are being built together into His temple, is it important to be a committed member of a church? Well, we're going to examine that question this morning, looking at several places where Scripture teaches the importance of church membership, not just church attendance or church affiliation, but officially partnering and joining with a church. And if you have your bulletin, I hope you'll take some notes. Again, we're going to go through several other passages of Scripture. Jot down these references. You can read them with me on the screen. Follow along in your Bible, and I hope you'll read them later on as well. Church membership is important because of the example we have in Scripture. So your first fill in the blank in your bulletin is church membership is important because of the example in Scripture. The question is always asked, is there evidence of church membership in the Bible? When we were doing some of our study for our members class and trying to put some background information, I'd contacted several churches. I mean, probably, a dozen or so that I personally contacted. And then there was a large group of churches I reached out to and tried to kind of an informal way, can you give me some information? And I received back an email from one particular church, not far from here, who talked about their membership in this way. We don't push church membership because we don't see any biblical evidence for church membership. And so we just kind of have this loose, easy, no stress, no accountability kind of church. And I really started to wonder, is he right? Is there any place in Scripture that talks about church membership? Aside from the thou shalt join passage, which doesn't exist, does the Scripture actually talk about church membership? And I'll tell you, not only does it talk about it, it strongly shows a picture of what church membership looks like. Let's begin just with Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see the formation of the early church. Literally thousands of people come to Christ in one miraculous day, and then the weeks that follow, thousands more are coming to Christ. And we see the church beginning to form in Jerusalem. And listen to the example we have of this new found church. Starting in verse 47, let's just read the second half. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, it's important to recognize the way it is worded here. Every day the Lord added to their number. There was a number that was counted. As a matter of fact, we read in Acts 2, the number was upwards of 5,000. And that was probably just counting the men, not to mention women and children who had come to Christ. They were counting and keeping track. There was an official understanding, an official number of who were members, who were a part of the church. It's not just here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 6, we see that the elections take place in order to address a specific problem. They appoint deacons in Acts chapter 6 to serve a specific church. There's some bickering that's going on, and the apostles say, we can't handle this on our own. Let's vote. Yes, a business meeting, the first recorded business meeting that we have in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 6, where they vote to appoint these men to serve the church. Romans 16, verses 1 through 16, appears to be an awareness of who is a church member and who is not. There's this list of greetings. Greet this person and greet that person in the church, and that person in that church. And then in verse 16, it says, all the churches of Christ send you greetings. In other words, there's this understanding there are several local churches, and there are some people in this church and some people in that church. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 16, we see this criteria is set for who would qualify for the Ephesus Widows Care Program. This is an organized ministry that they have through the church in Ephesus. And you can read kind of these are the people who should get help. These are the types of people who we want to be serving and doing. It's this organized, well thought out ministry in a local church in Ephesus. They were doing something. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, and then also in Romans chapter 12, we hear this wordage that the church is made up of many members. They're all parts of a body. I don't think it's an accident that the word member is used there. It's not just members as in parts and individual pieces of a body, but it is a collection of the whole. And of course, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 talk about the church on a worldwide scale. We are all members of the worldwide church in Christ. That is very, very true. However, it has to apply to a local church as well. Think about this. The imagery in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 is you're all parts of a body. And as you put the parts of the body together, you become one functioning body. It doesn't do any good to be a body if you don't have a right arm and a left arm and a right foot and a left foot and you do the hokey pokey. It doesn't work, okay? You have to have all of the parts of the body together. And that works on a worldwide scale, but can you imagine on a local level? If we were just a big toe, First Baptist is the big toe of the church. We have a lot of people all making up to part, and we are just the big toe. Now, how in the world can that apply to us? How are we supposed to function as a body if we're nothing more than a toe? Hey, you think about the size of the universal church, the worldwide church. All of us are part of this one body, and we wouldn't even make up a toe. We would make up the hangnail on the pinky of the toe on the left foot. That's all we would compose ourselves of. Now, can you imagine if this did not apply to the local church, if there were not members in a local church all functioning together? You know, something I love about First Baptist, this church, more than any other church I've served over the last few years, has really become a serving church. Just in the last month or so, I know I've sat down, I've talked to Hannah, I've talked to several of you all as well, how thankful I am for the people serving in different areas. We can see people who are passionate serving in different areas. We've got excitement over different ministries that are starting up. We can see growth occurring, not because the pastor is doing all these things, but because every member in the body is serving somewhere. And we have people who are passionately giving their gifts of service in different areas, from a greeters ministry to a security area to a women's ministry to a music ministry to you name it. We've started to fill in people who are serving. Our vacation Bible school is coming up, and I've already got emails from Dory 100 times. I need you to know what the stage is supposed to look like here. We need decorations for it. You know what? She is serving in a way that she is gifted. We get conversations from people. How can I get plugged in? I'm passionate about this ministry or that ministry. And I love to be able to say, go talk to Tom. He's in charge of that ministry. Go talk to Tracy. He's in charge of that ministry. Go talk to Becky. She's in charge of that ministry. It's wonderful to see the body of Christ and the members of it serving God. So the example we have in Scripture is that there are members of this body. We need each individual person. We see this example in Scripture of church membership and being a part of something more than just our individual selves. But you know, that could still function if there wasn't an official church role, couldn't it? I mean, if we just kind of had a loose set of standards, much like this church that responded back, we could still be a body to some degree. Well, church membership is also important, not just because of the example we see in Scripture, but also because it helps define the pastor's role. There's a passage of Scripture that really makes me ask a lot of questions about what I'm supposed to be doing as a pastor and what the church is supposed to be doing as church members. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." So there's this understanding that there are leaders within the church that are appointed for us to obey and submit. Now, this is not a passage on how you should obey and submit. If that's the case, I would like all of you all to be Kentucky basketball fans. All right? I realize there's going to be some rebellion there, okay? The emphasis here is not on the obey and submit this morning. It's on who is supposed to obey and who are they supposed to submit to. Two questions that come out of this verse that really don't make sense outside of a church membership role. One is, which leaders should an individual obey? Now, if you're supposed to obey and submit to the authority of the church, whose church and which church? Are you called to submit to the authority of all pastors and all church leadership at all church buildings in Robinson? Are you supposed to obey and submit to all church leaders and all church authority in all churches in our state or in our country? Are we supposed to submit to the loons at Westboro Baptist Church and picket funerals because that's what they're calling us to do? They're a church leader somewhere. Who are we supposed to submit to? Do we have a clear answer if there is no official church? Do we have a clear understanding of who the leadership of our body is if we don't have a specific local church? And secondly, maybe more personally for me, really this is an application for me as your pastor, but it helps us to see the importance of church membership. Who will the pastor give an account for? Hebrews 13 says, I'm responsible and I have to stand before God one day and talk to Him about how I've led and shepherded His church. Do I have to give an account for the people who are at every church in Robinson? The churches that are under false teaching, am I responsible to correct that? Is it my job as a pastor to shepherd over every believer in the world? Or does Hebrews 13, 17 only make sense if there's a specific church and a specific people? This verse clearly defines the importance of a local church, the importance of people within a local church. There must be a defined body for any of these passages to make any sense whatsoever. Church membership is important because it helps define a pastor's role, and I will say it helps define a church leader's role as well. And then finally, church membership is important because without it, there is no accountability. This is really the gold standard answer of why should I join your church? Because the church provides accountability. Now, I don't want to do a whole sermon, although we certainly can do one at some point on church discipline. It's really a very godly model that Christ gives us on how we are to hold each other accountable. Instead, I want to focus on the church membership side. Do we have accountability if there is no membership? If there is no official membership? Who is it that we're supposed to shepherd, supposed to correct, and supposed to love into repentance? Who is it that we're supposed to come alongside and say, well, you're heading down the wrong path and God has something so much better for you? Who is it that we're supposed to, for lack of a better word, pass judgment on, and who are we supposed to not? Already you guys tensed up a little bit. Pastor said judge. I thought Scripture said don't judge anyone. Well, actually it doesn't say that. I love a passage. Maybe the best example is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is writing a very specific church, the Corinthian church, about correction that needs to take place within their church. He says, I wrote to you in a letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. You and I are good right there already. We're okay to stand firm on what God says about our marriages and about our sexual relationships. He goes on to say, I did not mean the immoral people of this world or the greedy and swindlers who are idolaters. Otherwise, you would have to leave the world. Now, here's where the don't judge comes in. I didn't say don't associate with people outside of the church. I didn't say don't associate with people who are of the world. You need to go reach those people. By the way, this is an aside. For those of you who are cringing at the idea of sexually immoral people and relationships you might have, remember that Jesus hung out with prostitutes and sinners, and that Paul is writing here, those are the people that need Christ the most. Instead, he says, don't associate with those sexually immoral people who are a part of your church. Let's continue reading. Actually, I wrote to you not to associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister and is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or verbally abusive, a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. So the person who believes in Christ, proclaims Christ, and is tarnishing the faith because they refuse to repent of their sin, they're the ones you pass judgment on. They're the ones you come alongside and say, this is what God's word is telling you to do. This is how you're to live. They're the ones you're accountable to and are accountable to you. And in verse 12, what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Don't you judge those who are inside. Notice the words here that Paul uses. I want to emphasize the words outsiders and insiders. There's a clear definition of those who are outside the church and those who are inside the church. And if there is no inside, how are we possibly going to encourage people with the method of church discipline and maybe ultimately have to put them outside? If there is no inside, how can we keep each other accountable? Now, what church membership is not, is it's not a set of we have something better than you, or we're the insiders, we're the social elites, and you're just not a part of us. Church membership is set with insiders and outsiders for accountability. If you want to be a part of a church, if you want to identify with Christ, if you want to be a believer and act and serve as a believer within a church, there has to be some definition and some accountability. Those who are following God and those who are not. I think really the biggest problem with church membership and this question of is it biblical or not is that we've segregated our faith so much. The church membership has extreme importance because it's ingrained in the believer. There is no such thing in the New Testament as a genuine faithful believer who is not a part of a functioning church. We've separated salvation into these ways. You pray a prayer, and that's when you get saved. And then you get baptized to show everybody that you're saved. And then you join a local church so that way you can serve and be a part of it. And then you segregate it into several other areas. And in Scripture, there's only one way to salvation. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. But all of that just naturally progresses and occurs. It's not segregated at all. If you are a believer, you should want to show the church through your baptism. You should be a part of a church so that you can serve and function as a member. There is no separation of the two. That's where some of our confusing theology comes in. And we start saying you have to be baptized to be a Christian, or you have to be a member of a church to be a Christian. And several denominations will teach you any one of those things. Scripture teaches salvation is through faith alone. But if you are in Christ, you can't separate the obedience. You can't separate the others. The bottom line is local church membership is really a question of biblical obedience and not personal preference. Now, I don't say that this morning because I want a deluge of people coming forward. I want to join your church. I want to join your church. I want to join your church. The truth is, church membership is a serious commitment that probably takes some time to think through. We're not a pressuring church. And this sermon, if you've talked to me at all, you know that I'm not someone who's coming and beating down doors and saying, come join our church, come join our church. Instead, I'm going to outline for you what Scripture teaches. And I'm going to say, when God is ready to plant you where He wants you, at that time, let's follow in biblical obedience. Let's be a part of a church. Have that accountability and serve as members of the body. Let's submit to the leaders of the church and keep them accountable to preach the Word of God. Let's be a functioning body that the Scriptures teach us to be. This invitation this evening, this morning, is not so much focused on whether or not you'll put your name on a roll. It's focused much more on Do you value the church? Do you value the church, the bride of Christ, enough to make a commitment to say, Lord, I am serving you undoubtedly. I'm going to be a part of your body, and I want to be a part of a local congregation. This morning, if you're a member of our church, you're not off the hook, because the application for you is, am I functioning as a member? Am I serving the church the way God has called me to serve it? Am I giving my gifts and using my gifts? Am I a part of the body, or am I just content to be an elbow and not really do much? Am I content to be the appendix and you could get rid of me and nobody would care? God wants you to be a functioning part of First Baptist. This morning, your question and your invitation is to ask, am I serving Christ through my church? Am I using my gifts the way He's called me to use them? Church membership is vital because the body of Christ is built up of individuals. We are literally the temple of God. We are literally His house. And this morning, I pray that we would be united as people of His temple, unified together to give Him the glory and honor He deserves through our church. Let's have a word of prayer as we come to our time of invitation. Father, I thank You for Your church. Lord, I thank You for your bride, the one You care for. Lord, I thank You for the people who make up that church. Lord, I thank You that Ephesians 2 reminds me that I am that temple, I am that church. Lord, each and every single one of us in here who calls You as their Savior and Lord is a part of Your church in one way or another. Lord, let us now commit to serving You through the church. Let us commit to being all in. Lord, forgive us for segregating our faith into stages. And Lord, help us to see that You've called all of us. You've called every part of us to be serving and loving and functioning as a member of a local body. Lord, again, we thank You for Your church, but more importantly, we thank You for the sacrifice You made for Your church. Lord, the reason why we're so ready to be a part of this body is because we realize who the head is. Lord, as Ephesians says, the cornerstone who this church is built on is Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in Him. So, Lord, we pray that if there's someone in here this morning who doesn't understand what it is to have that relationship, who is longing for the companionship of local Christians and other people, but doesn't understand the cornerstone of Christ, doesn't understand the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, we pray that that would be the first step of obedience this morning. And Lord, we pray that as that follows, it would blossom into an obedient service through the church. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.